Okay, as you know, 2 weeks ago, I missed last week, had another obligation I had to take care of, but we've been talking about prayer, haven't we? And we've been looking at some fundamental concepts related to that, and of course prayer is a very important part of the life of a believer, needs to be, should be, ought to be, and I hope that's the case where you're concerned, because it's an opportunity to have some impact in a very wonderful way in relation to the answered prayer that we can certainly receive from the Lord and what He would provide in that regard. Now, like I say, 2 weeks ago we got into a study here of some basic things regarding that, and then in the meantime, I was having a conversation with someone, not here, somebody actually out of state, and we were talking about prayer, and I heard a point of view that I'd never heard before, and I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? And anyway, it was the idea that we are only to pray these days along spiritual lines and nothing physical or material. And I'm thinking, what? And then the alarming thing about it at the time was I'm hearing this from someone who understands the grace message, so to speak, and has been listening to and studying others in the grace message, and they're saying this. So this is something that I never even really thought about, considered. I thought, pray, anything, everything, so forth. And I thought the whole idea was ridiculous. And but again, from a biblical standpoint, how do you argue the point? Well, I started looking into it. Started, pulling this, that, and the other, and so forth. And I put a whole set together on it, and I shifted to this friend of mine and said, well, here it is. whatever. And so I thought we would start with that this morning, because we're dealing with prayer, basics we all ought to know. And this subject that I just mentioned may be something you run up on with somebody, whatever. And, of course, as with anything, you need to know where you stand. And you need to be standing on biblical principles as it relates to stuff like this. Because one thing I have found over the years is that a lot of people out there who think of themselves as Christians, they're really not standing on truth from Scripture itself. Oftentimes it's just tradition. Other times it's denominational theology or doctrine or whatever. And it really doesn't have a proper biblical base. And even as that subject would relate sometimes to prayer. So, we need to know where we stand with these things, don't we? We should, thank you. Yes, we do. We need to know where we stand with these things. And we need to be sure that we're standing on firm ground, so to speak, in relation to whatever we're talking about. And especially with something like this, that ought to be an everyday part of our lives. I mean, prayer is not something that you're going to sort of apply every now and then or whatever, but this ought to be something that's just ongoing. And we saw that. Last time I was talking to you about this, of course, you've been hearing it for years from Greg back there. He's been talking this. And, of course, prayer, I'm afraid it's something that often gets neglected by Christians. I'm afraid that, if you had just an honest conversation with a lot of Christians, they say, well, that's an area I wish I was better at. Well, I feel the same way. I'll be the first to admit that. I pray. I pray frequently. But I often think, I ought to be doing this more often. I ought to be delving more into this because, again, it's an opportunity. I mean, to talk to God about things that concern us and the idea that we can get a response in terms of answered prayer, as we call it. We need to be doing this. And we need to be understanding it from a biblical perspective as it relates to us in this present dispensation of grace or so-called church age that we're a part of today, because it has changed historically. And we see that in Scripture. A lot of times people just put Scripture in a blender. They kind of run it all together. Well, that doesn't work too well. That leads to a lot of confusion, even frustration when it comes to prayer. Because a lot of times people are claiming prayer promises that were never given to them. They were never directed to us in the time in which we live today. And if we don't sort all that out, like I say, we're subject to a lot of frustration, a lot of confusion. Now, this thing about praying for material things. Now, I will say this. I'm afraid that oftentimes it's the material side, that's all that gets prayed about. Now, a lot of times you go to a prayer meeting, they're going to be talking about so-and-so's aches and pains and all, and that's all fine. We need to be praying about those things, but that's not all we need to be praying about. And oftentimes, I think it is. We're praying, we've got to get a better job, got to get a raise, praying for this, praying, you're praying. Aunt Susie, she's got, you know, such and such aches and pains, whatever, and again, we need to be dealing with those things. But we don't need to be only dealing with those things. And Paul, our apostle, makes that very clear in some things that he says about prayer, doesn't he? He sure does. And we'll be talking about that. But as it relates to this subject here, first of all, let's just look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which you probably know by memory. It is a very simple, short little verse, but boy, does it say something as it relates to this subject matter which we're covering here this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. The command to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to pray without ceasing. In other words, it's to be an ongoing activity in our lives day to day. And we don't have to be in a church, so-called, to pray. We haven't got to be behind stained glass windows. We haven't got to be in a prayer room. We can do it anywhere, anytime, any situation, we can pray. And this passage is telling us that we ought to be addressing the Lord about various concerns ongoing. Question, are you doing that? Are you doing that? Are you carrying forth with that thing, you know, in terms of habitually, and I do mean habitually, praying about this, that, and the other? Well, we need to be doing that. Here's the command right here. And it is to us as believers, we're to be addressing God about all kinds of things. Now, let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to see an example here of Paul talking about praying in relation to material, temporal, you know, kind of a situation. Let's take a look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." He's making a prayer request of these believers in the Thessalonian church here. And he says that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is in you. Okay? So he's praying. Here we're talking about praying in relation to his ministry and it being effective in terms of what he's doing. But look at this next verse. Verse 2 says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men." Now, is that not a physical deliverance? I think it is. That's what he's talking about here. Unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. In other words, there's a lot of unbelievers out there who not only don't care anything about spiritual truth, but they're opposed to it. They're opposed to him and to his ministry and to what he's putting forth. And so he's asking them to pray regarding this. And you look at the next verse here, verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." That little word "keep" there is the Greek word philosso. It means to guard. Guard. Now, don't we have a record, though, of a lot of Christians having died, a martyr's death? Yes, that has happened many, many times historically. What's the story there? Was God not paying attention? Was God not answering somebody? Listen, God is going to protect you, keep you here as long as he wants you here, as long as you have a purpose here. And that we should take great delight in that. Because really, when God's purpose for you is over, ain't it time to go anyway? I mean, what do you want to hang right here for? When you've got so much to look forward to. I mean, isn't heaven a wonderful place? Don't we talk that, preach that, proclaim that? Absolutely. Isn't that going to be a lot better than this? Absolutely. The eternal state is, and Paul talked about this in his writing. He said, you know, I'm kind of torn between two. I'd rather go. But for your sake, I'm all in to staying right here and continuing and ministering to you. That's where we are today. Yeah, whatever. Whatever, Lord. If it's, and isn't it interesting? We all going to die of something. You know. We're all, the ratio is still 1-1, isn't it? And that may not sound like good news, but we're all going to die. That's my message to you this morning. We're all going to die. It's just a question of how and a question of when. But we're all going to die of something, right? might get run over or something. It's not like that. Not necessarily a physical ailment, you know, in terms of a disease, that kind of thing. But then it might be. We don't know. But as long as God wants you, He has a purpose and plan for you here, ain't nothing taking you out of here. One of my favorite Bible characters of Scripture, I say Bible character, Christian gentleman, it was in the Word, Stonewall Jackson. Thomas Jonathan Jackson fought the Civil War. A great general. Maybe even the best in that time. And he once made the statement. He said, "I feel as safe on the battlefield as I do at home in bed." And that's a statement. That's a man that understands. Do your duty. Do your job. Live your life. Whatever. And when your time is up, it's up. And there ain't nothing keeping you here. And that's not bad news. I mean, that's fine. We ought to be quite okay with that. And ready to go whenever that day comes. Now, we don't need to rush it. We don't need to do this foolish stuff, you know, to get whatever. But we need to be just ready to go. Oh, when you're done with me, hey, I'm out of here. I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Whatever. Let's look at another passage here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Here again, Paul's talking about prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then look at this next verse here. He says, "For kings and for all that are in authority." Oh, is that 1 Timothy? Okay, I've got a good helper down here. Thank you, sweetie. 1 Timothy, I'm sorry, I've got that wrong in my notes here. Great Scott, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, thank you, sweetie. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And then he says, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Now, isn't that talking about physical life? Isn't that addressing that? Absolutely. Shouldn't we? Because, see, the people he's talking about praying for your kings, that's probably unbelievers. Many of them. Most of them. Maybe all of them. Whatever. But he's praying that they might make wise decisions and would make for a peaceful life. So we would have the freedom to carry on easily with our ministry of proclaiming God's Word. But this is to do with a temporal matter here as such. And here Paul is exhorting them and then us to be praying. So, should we be praying for our leaders? Should we not be praying like our president? I mean, I heard a statement just the other day, somebody wants to kill him. There's probably a lot of that going on. Probably been a lot of attacks that have gone. We need to pray for his protection. Our other leaders, we need to pray and that we will be a free society so that we can meet like this freely. Are there people out there that would like to take this freedom away from us? Absolutely. Do they not want to get into your mind and make you think a certain way contrary to what the Word of God? Absolutely. Do we not need to be praying for these leaders that our freedoms would be preserved? We surely do. We surely do. And here's an example of it here in this passage. All right, let's go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Incidentally, any of you had to go to the Trump rally this week? I was there. About 5 hours early. Anyway, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything." You know, last time I looked at this word, I thought everything meant everything. Doesn't everything mean everything? I think it does. Everything means everything. Isn't that what he's talking about here? Everything. And I like that second part of the word, everything. Whatever. You can make it a matter of prayer. And supplication with thanksgiving, associated with a thankful attitude, let your requests be made known unto God. Like I said, I think everything means everything. Look at verse 10. It says, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, what kind of need is he talking about here? Is he talking about spiritual need? Yeah, that's part of it. But what's the context here in this passage? What's he talking about? He's talking about material needs in context, because he's reflecting on an offering or a gift that's been given to him by the Philippian church. The context is material, not spiritual here, what he's talking about. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, isn't this material needs under discussion here? It certainly is. Are we to be praying about our material needs? Absolutely. We're to be doing that for ourselves, for others, and so forth. Others who are having a tough time, whatever the case may be, we can pray for them and pray that solutions will come at hand. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4, another passage on this. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. It says, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. I get this. Praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance, an opportunity, you see, in relation to presenting Christ, presenting the Word and so forth. He's praying about circumstances here. That things would develop so that that opportunity might be provided. And then he says specifically to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. And so what he's talking about here is that doors be open. Opportunity would be provided to minister to people. Now, let me ask you a question here on a personal level. Have you been praying about this, about your own life? Are you praying God will give you doors of opportunity to present the gospel to people? And to work on even creating those opportunities. A lot of times you have to make the opportunity. You have to speak up. You have to say something. You know, we talk about the weather. We talk about all kinds. Talk about the Lord. Isn't that the most important thing you could be talking about? Absolutely. So who are you praying about? Who are you praying for? Who's on your list right now as an unbeliever that you would like to reach and to have the opportunity of presenting the gospel to them in a very, you know, natural, spontaneous manner so that they might understand what they need to believe to be saved? Who's praying for? But who among believers are you praying for? That they might grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who are you praying for? Think about that. Who's on your list? Do you have a prayer list? I've always felt like I needed one, and I've had one for many, many years. Got it on my computer. Long list. All kinds of things that remind me that I need to be praying about this person, this situation, and so forth. Do you have a prayer list? Do you have people, at least mentally, that you're praying for, ongoing? I think most Christians aren't doing that. You think I'm wrong about that? I think not. I think most Christians pray much about anything. In fact, as sad as it is, I think a lot of Christians, most praying they ever do is around dinner table. They pray for over the meal. If they even do it then. And that is a shame. That's terrible. You have access to the God of the universe to have impact on historical developments of all kinds. And yet we don't. We often don't approach that. You know, there's a lot of people who would like some time to have the ear of, say, our president. Or say some other local official or whatever. And you say, well, I'd never get in to see him, her, whatever. You know, well, we're talking to God of the universe here. And you don't even have to make an appointment. You don't even have to make an appointment. Most important whatever that you can ever name. God. You can speak out. Father. And then here comes whatever in terms of addressing him. And does he respond? Absolutely. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about that. All right, let's look at another passage here. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might what? See your face. Be with them. Are we not talking about a physical development here, a material, a temple? Absolutely. Tonight, be with them. He's praying that things would work out, that God would work things out so that this might happen and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Let's go over to Philemon chapter 1. One chapter there, one whatever you want to call it. Verse 22. Another comment about this. Notice how many places we find this in Paul's writings. It's not just in, say, 1 Corinthians on the front end or something like that. It's in all of them. He's constantly talking about this sort of thing, praying about the physical, the material, the temporal, and so forth, as well as the spiritual items of life. Philemon, verse 22, "But with all prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." In other words, they've been praying that there might be a face-to-face, you see. And is that not temporal? Is that not physical, material? Absolutely. And let's go to Philippians 1, verse 19. Still another passage on this. Philippians 1, verse 19. He says, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation." Now, does Paul need to be saved in the sense that we typically use that word? No, he's talking about the deliverance here. Sozo can be a physical deliverance, can be a spiritual deliverance. But in this case, he's talking about a physical deliverance. "I shall turn to my deliverance through your prayer," because they've been praying that he would be free from prison, "and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Now, isn't that interesting? We've got a half a dozen passages here, and there's probably more, but these I was able to find very quickly to pull all this together to help my friends see that, hey, we're to not just pray about spiritual matters as such, but the physical, the temporal as well. But there needs to be both. There needs to be both. There should be both. But as I was saying earlier, all too often, people are only praying about physical, temporal concerns. Am I right about that? Yeah. I think so. Now, let's go back and take a look at where we were when we were studying this 2 weeks ago when I was here. We were dealing with some basic fundamentals about prayer. Our first point then was prayer is a blessing for who? Believers. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you understand that salvation is by grace through faith, and that alone, you have put your confidence in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as a basis for your standing before God, prayer is an option for you. And as we noted then, I mean, anybody, an unbeliever, can cry out to God. But one thing Scripture is very clear here is that prayer is the prerogative, the blessing that belongs to believers. What does God want to hear from an unbeliever? He wants his belief in the Savior that's been provided. And then that will give him the access that he needs to have a prayer life. But outside of that, there's nothing. There's nothing. You, if you're a believer, you understand the issues here in salvation. You have this privilege. And that's what it is. It is a privilege to go before God, the God of the universe, and to make your addresses to him regarding whatever. Whatever is of concern to you at that given time. And we saw this access thing in Romans 5, verse 2. We saw it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. We won't get back into that again, but it's all right there. And then we saw, as we began this morning, this thing about how every believer should pray. We saw the command in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let's do look at that one. Because you need to understand that your standing before the Lord is based on your identification with Christ, first and foremost. It's not based upon any personal merit. Not at all. Not your works as such. And so because of your position, you are in a position to come, how? Boldly to the Lord regarding your concerns, whatever they happen to be. So, It says, let us therefore come boldly, Hebrews 4:17, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in, to help in time of need. You ever have any time of need? Yeah. All kinds of needs. Discussing with Kenneth coming down the road about Laura and her. His wife has surgery, you know, shoulder and everything. We need to be praying for Laura. We need to pray for Laura that she'll get past this and there won't be some unnecessary complication, whatever. And she can pop Kenneth with that right hand anytime she needs to. Right now she can't move it anywhere. But we need to be praying for Laura. There's all kinds of places and people and situations out there that we need to be engaged in. Because does it make a difference? Well, Scripture says it does. We're told by God's Word that it does. It makes a difference. And again, we can come to the Lord in a bold kind of an attitude as such. Now, we looked at some other things here. We got all the way over to, in fact, I think I concluded with this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So let's go. Who do you pray for? Let's talk about that. That's the next thing we need to look at here. Who are you talking to? Who are you addressing? Oh, my goodness. I hear all kinds of things these days. One of the most common ones is, dear Jesus. Do we find anything in Scripture that says we're to be praying to Jesus? Is there anything from Genesis to Revelation, let alone Paul writing? Is there anything anywhere? Where did that come from? Right out of thin air. That's where it came from. We are not to be praying to Jesus. Who did Jesus pray to? He prayed himself. He prayed to the Father when he was explaining to the disciples how they were to pray. What did he say? What was on the front of that prayer he gave them? Our Father, who art in heaven. He didn't say, pray, O Holy Spirit. There's another one for you. You hear this? O Holy Spirit. Off we go. One of the new ones, and I've heard this in the last 10 days. Father God. Well, that's close. You know. But where'd that come from? And I get so amused that people in praying is Father God in every third sentence. Father God, and then it's Father God, and then it's Father God, and Father God. And he heard you the first time. That's not necessary. It's okay. But it's not necessary. Father. And then you go for it. You put forth what's on your mind. You express that. You need to do that. But on and on it goes. Our prayers are to be addressed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ on the basis of His who and what He is and our relationship with Him and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are the factors. Now, most of you, maybe all of you know that. But I'm here to tell you, you're around people all the time who don't know that. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, you know, just like this dear Jesus thing. Let me tell you something. You know who historically has spoken of him with that term, Jesus? Who? The opposition. One thing they did not call him was Jesus Christ. Oh, that tells us. See, there are a lot of Jesuses. It's just a name. Joshua, you know, in the Hebrew, whatever. Yeshua. When we moved to Robeson Ranch, the guy that was cutting our grass, guess what his name was? Jesus. Has Jesus come by and say, that's just so awkward saying it. Has Jesus, did he come and cut the grass today? You know? When a friend of mine, a guy who was the best man at our wedding, first time I heard a conversation about it, he was talking about how the guy that when he went on his honeymoon in a cruise ship, the guy that takes care of their room, guess what his name was? It was Jesus. And Ken said, when he said, I felt so awkward saying to Lou, wonder where Jesus has put my shoes. But again, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. You won't hear an unbeliever calling, addressing him that way necessarily, because that identifies him with deity. To call him the Christ, you see, that makes he's the promised Messiah as such. He's not just another Jesus. He is the Jesus as such. But you hear this in Christian circles as if they have a closer, more intimate relationship. I call him Jesus. No, you're expressing your misunderstanding. That's what you're expressing in that. You're to be respectful. When you pray, you're talking to the God of the universe. You're not talking to a four-star general. You're talking about the general of all generals. That's who you're talking to. You need to be respectful. And you need to understand, again, what a privilege it is for you to have some time with him. Are you taking that time? Don't we? Shouldn't we? Absolutely. It ought to be ongoing. We need to be praying without ceasing as such. Now, another one here. Do we need to be praying to Mary? Now, we got a whole denomination out there. That's who that means. They believe in that. Where is the biblical basis for that one? Where is that in Scripture? Where people are told to pray to the mother of Jesus, Mary, regarding anything. And yet, you listen, there are thousands of Americans that live in around the U.S. in your neighborhood. This is what they do. And so if you're going to help them understand, given that opportunity, you know, what they're to be doing about this, where do you go in Scripture? Well, you can't find any Scripture that says you pray to Jesus, you pray to Mary, because where do we? Where's the last record we have of Mary in Scripture? What is she doing? She's praying. She's in a prayer meeting, right along with any of the others. And nobody's praying to Mary in the meeting or giving her any special place of prominence, but in that she's just in the prayer meeting. Just like Janice here with us today, my wife, these other ladies, whatever, she's just one of them, you see, as such. And that's who she still is. I mean, she's the Lord today as such, but we're not to be addressing our prayers to her. Now, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 again. And let's take a look at something here that we need to see as it relates to our subject. The verse says, be careful for nothing, which is Old English for what? What's he saying, be careful for nothing, as we look at that in the King James Version? Don't be worrying about stuff. Don't be, you know, overly anxious about stuff. Be careful for nothing. Stop worrying about anything. But in, and here we go again, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And you see, that I see is so important. Because I think all too often prayers are more of a whine than they are a prayer. The person's whining about something. They're complaining about something. Is that proper? Is that the way we should be in that, in our prayer life? No. In all things, Scripture says, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So no matter what you're going through, listen, God, and yes, the pains, the frustrations of life, God commonly uses those to get people's attention, to get our attention, and to get us to be more focused on Him and our relationship with Him than all the temporal stuff, you see, as such. So we have that right here. Stop your worrying. Just cut that out. Yeah, I mean, you address your concerns, yes, in ways you can. But you're not to be worried about all stressed out about stuff. You're to be taking these things to Him and trusting Him for the guidance and the understanding as to how you should approach whatever your concern happens to be. But that's what's going on here. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, another comment I want to make here about this is, don't we often hear people talking about there's power in prayer? Now, I know what I think they often mean by that statement, but I also know how that term is often affiliated, because you see, there's religions all over the world that talk about prayer, isn't it? There is. They pray. Is there power in prayer? No, I'm sorry. There's no power in prayer. The power is in God. Prayer is just the vehicle, you know, addressing Him. That's what that is. And it's God who, by His power, is going to do thus, thus, and so, whatever that happens to be. But I think a lot of times people think there's just something, it's almost spooky about praying, you know. But it's all in who you're talking to and who you're addressing. Because you are talking to a God who is quite capable of addressing your concerns and anybody else's or whatever they happen to be at any time, in any place, or any situation. Now, let's... where are we going to go here? We need to talk about the promises of God. Because God has made some promises to us regarding this subject. And He's promised to save us if we'll accept His Son as a basis for that salvation. But He's also promised to respond in relation to our prayers, our requests. But we need to understand what's been promised in that regard and what has not been promised in that regard. And fundamentally, here's the thing you need to understand about this. We are to pray today. But there was a time, there was a period, and there's going to be another one in the future when people will pray and they will get exactly what they request. Every time. Do we have that today? We do not. I guess maybe you found that out the hard way. Like the rest of us. You do not get everything you request. You probably don't get most of what you request. That's just a guess. But I think that is probably pretty typical. But I'm here to tell you, there was a time when believers could pray and they got exactly what they asked for. And like I said, there's going to be a time in the future when that is going to happen again. But where are we now? We're in between all that. We're in a time when we can pray all right and we can get some answers. There's no question about that. But we're not going to necessarily get what we ask for. Every time, or maybe even most of the time, because as it's stated in Romans 8, and we'll probably look at that later, there's a very real sense in which we don't know how to pray because we don't know completely and thoroughly and totally God's will regarding whatever we're talking about. And that's what's going to have to be lining up with the prayer if the thing we're asking for is going to happen. And so, yes, we can know a lot about God's will, but we don't know near about everything about God's will. And yet, like I say, there was a time when people were so influenced by the Spirit of God that what they prayed for, they got because they knew God's will. They were praying God's will. Again, are we in a position to do that today? Not like they did, and not like they will in the future, but we can pray, and we can sure get some answers. I think a lot of times, we don't get the answers, you know, consistent like we could. We don't pray enough. We just don't spend enough time there. We're too caught up with all the other stuff of life. Just as it is with the Word. We were in news this morning. We were coming down the highway, Kenneth, and there was cars everywhere. And I just lined up on the front of the road. Long lines of cars. I jokingly said, oh, they're probably going to church somewhere. Or they're going to the air show out there today. It's amazing what people will get in line for. It amazes me. And what they see is priorities in life. And the distances they will try. There's probably people in the line. They drove maybe 100 miles to get to that air show. But they won't drive across the street to get to the church and get the Word and so forth. They won't do that. It's not a priority. That's why. What are your priorities as it relates to the Word? What are your priorities as it relates to the time you spend in prayer? Are other things more important? Do they rule this out as having greater priority? Well, and in the minds of a lot of people, I think that's just the case. And I think so much of growing spiritually is getting your priorities straightened out. What's really most important and what's really important but not nearly as important? Things we need to be addressing, things we really don't need to be addressing. All right, let's take a look at Psalm 86 here. We just got a couple of minutes left. We'll get started with this. Psalm 86, verse 7. We have a general statement here, a general promise being given about prayer. It says, in the day of my trouble, Psalm 86, verse 7, in the day of my trouble, isn't that when most people do pray? in the day when I'm hurting, in the day when things aren't going my way, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And in a very general sense, I think that's true any time in all history. God's going to give you. The answer may be no. I can remember many times talking to my kids, saying, what part of no do you not understand? I think God deals with us that way sometimes. In fact, I know He does. The answer, you get an answer all right, just the answer was no. You're not going to get what you asked for. But is that an answer? It most certainly is an answer. I think, okay, well, I didn't get my prayer answered. No, you didn't get it your way. You got an answer. You just didn't get what you requested. He's not doing it, or not doing it now. He's not doing it on your schedule, or He's not doing it the way you thought it needed to be done. But you're getting an answer. Because I think anytime you, if you're a believer, anytime you open your mouth to pray to God, God is going to give you an answer. You can depend on it. It just may not be what you're expecting in terms of the way He addressed it. And why is that? Could God be a little wiser than you in terms of what's best for you? What you really need versus what you think you need? I think that's true for all of us. We may think we know how God should answer this when that's not best at all. And yet God is going to give us just exactly what we need. Psalm 91, flip over a few pages. Psalm 91, verse 15 says, He shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, in this case, we're talking about being delivered from problems. I think a lot of times that's what we want. We want God to snatch us out of the problem. When a lot of times, I think He's just going to take us through it. And He will give you what you need by which to bear that and to go through that. But isn't it true, with people in general, we're either coming out of something, or we're in something, or we're going out of something. or a combination thereof. But that's often the case. And certainly God will deliver us from some things, but God will oftentimes just deliver us through it with His strength, with His understanding. And when we trust Him for however it goes, and we can have some peace of mind about that, and we're promised that. Now, Jeremiah, let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 33, and we'll stop on this one. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. The statement is made here, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Now, has God shown you great and mighty things every time you prayed to Him about something? I don't think so. We're moving into something here that I want to talk about in terms of God, how God has made promises to certain of His people in the past. And now we've got our own set of promises today, but they're not necessarily the same as what has gone before, and as I was saying, as what's going to be in the case in the time future. And we need to understand that. But right here in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and He will. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Well, that's kind of how you define that, which thou knowest not. Well, like I say, our time is up. We'll stop right there and we'll carry on with this next week. I will be back and I'll have another week with you after that. And we'll have a lot of fun here together getting through this thing about prayer. Well, let's pray to Him now. Father, we thank You for Your Word, which gives us direction, understanding regarding so many things. May we realize the importance, the priority it should have for us to delve into these things so that we might know and gain the wisdom that You would have us to have so that we can approach life prayerfully and otherwise. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.